Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is January 2021 and we are finally out of the European Union. It is a deal. We have a deal. It's not a perfect deal. Of course, there are problems with Northern Ireland. There are problems with many, many things that I will still be campaigning on. But we are finally an independent country once again. We will be trading on our own terms, with our own treaties, with our own in our own way, and that I think is something to be celebrated. I have been campaigning for this since 1987. 1987. Someone actually rang me this morning and said, "Nigel, how do you feel?" I said, "I feel elated. I feel elated that we are finally out. But I also feel a question in my mind, and that is, why is it that nations and groups of nations and whatever are falling apart? Why is it that there is talk of separatism in parts of the United States? Why is it that all of these little countries that are coming together and wanting to be independent, whether it is Scotland or whatever it happens to be, why are nations coming apart? And that is what I want to talk about to you all today. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, we have looked a great deal on this channel on the issue of group selection, which is, of course, this idea that you can pass on your genes directly through having children, you can pass on your genes indirectly by kin selection, looking after your nephews and nieces, and you can pass on your genes through your looking after your extended group, that is, your extended kin group, and that is to say your ethnic group, because it's been shown that that's what ethnic groups are. They are extended kin groups. Two random Frenchmen are more genetically similar to each other based on genetic assay data than a random Englishman and a random Frenchman. And there is evidence from many, many studies of tribes and whatever that people do engage in group selection, that groups fight each other and some groups, you know, wipe the other group out or whatever. And that is how group selection occurs. Now, one of the things that's very interesting that we are seeing of late is the breakdown of nations, the coming apart of nations. Now, why is this? Well, the answer could be put down to the collapse of group selection. Now, why does group selection happen? It happens because you are living in an extremely harsh and difficult ecology. If you are living in an extremely harsh and difficult ecology, then it is difficult for everybody to survive. They band together into different groups, and those groups will fight each other in order to dominate territory, and in order to pass on their genes. Computer models have shown that there is a certain kind of group that will tend to survive in the battle of group selection. That is to say, a group that is high in positive and negative ethnocentrism. Positive ethnocentrism is internal cooperation, is everybody getting on, being self-sacrificial for the good of the group, cooperating with each other, being concerned with altruism and impulse control and stuff like that, and therefore internally cooperating. And negative ethnocentrism is that you violently repel the out-group and you're prepared to make sacrifices and, you know, lay down your life in order to repel the out-group. Now, all else being equal, it is that kind of group which will tend to survive in the battle of group selection, and therefore you have an ongoing arms race among groups in order to be more and more like that. Now, another factor that is involved in group selection is intelligence. A group that is more intelligent will be able to create better weapons and be more tactical in warfare and whatever and dominate, and therefore intelligence becomes a matter of group selection, and the group that is more intelligent will tend to dominate the group that is less intelligent. Another factor to group selection is genius. Geniuses tend to have outlier high IQ plus moderately antisocial traits. If you sustain a moderate number of them, then they can come up with brilliant ideas because they challenge convention and that kind of thing and think outside the box, and therefore that becomes a matter of group selection. So you have all of this. Under harsh Darwinian conditions, group selection sets off, and group selection selects for people being more and more intelligent, for groups being having more and more geniuses per capita, and also for groups being more and more cooperative and that kind of thing. Now, under our conditions, you know, a few hundred years ago, the Maunder Minimum and whatever, it's extremely cold. This very, very strongly selects for group selection. There is intense group selection. I mean, you have situations where, for example, a third of the population of Finland died out in about 1698 because they were just too poor and unable to sustain themselves or whatever. And so therefore this selects in favour of this modal mind, which is highly ethnocentric, highly intelligent, and highly sustaining of genius. Now, this is the opposite of what happens under a very easy ecology. Under a very easy ecology in which basic needs are met, there's food available all year round, in which you don't have to be particularly cooperative or anything like that, then there isn't much in the way of group selection. Group selection isn't very intense. And what you end up with is these fission-fusion societies where people don't particularly get on. And if you have this among the Yanomamo of Venezuela, and if they have an argument or whatever, they just split off and form a separate group. What this ultimately ends up with is what you see in many parts of Africa, which is numerous tribes, lots and lots and lots of separate polities, which mean that you... what is earth is this? Lots and lots and lots of separate polities, which mean that you don't you don't get a particularly united nation. Now, what we're seeing now in Western societies is the outcome of the collapse of Darwinian selection. So Darwinian selection pressure has gone from 50% child mortality down to 200 years ago to 1% child mortality today. There is much less environmental harshness, and therefore there is much less intensity of group selection. So what this means is that there is less of a need to hold nations together. There is less pressure towards groups holding together to being strongly internally cooperative and externally violent and whatever. So and there's less need for it, and so less selection for intelligence. And we've looked at elsewhere that intelligence is decreasing in Western countries for various reasons. And there is less need to sustain genius. Now, what you would predict on this basis would be the breakdown of nations, that nations would and groups of nations would start to split up. People would act in their own genetic and own ethnic interests, and gradually these broader nations based around cooperation would start to break down because there would be no need for them. And one of the first things to go would be multicultural, multiracial nations such as America. It's been shown that people are more inclined to cooperate with those who are genetically similar to themselves, of course, because this is a way of indirectly passing on more of their genes. The more genetically dissimilar someone is to you, then the less inclined you are to cooperate with them. And this works along racial lines. People are more inclined, according to research by J. Philippe Rushton and others, to cooperate with people of their own race rather than other races. And research by Tatu Van then in his book Ethnic Conflicts has shown that the more ethnically diverse a nation is, the more conflict-ridden it is. And indeed, 66% of the variation in conflict within nations is to do with ethnic diversity. So you would expect these nations to start to break down. And that's what, I mean, Steve Turley did something on this recently, that's what you might expect to happen in America. There is less pressure to stay together, and so groups will not stay together. They will fission into different groups, often based along ethnic lines. Even putting aside the issue of ethnicity, people will cooperate less, and therefore they will simply pursue their own interests. And so people who are liberal and conservative will have, let's say, will have no need to cooperate with each other. It's been found that we have about five moral foundations on which we vary, the five things which we find important and which we perceive morality is based around. These are harm avoidance, basically being kind and nice to people, loyalty to your in-group, to your ethnic group, an interest in authority and structure, an interest in disgust and sanctity, and an interest in equality and fairness. Now, these can be subdivided into individualizing and group values. You have the individualist type people who are concerned about fairness, i.e. they have the same as everybody else, and are concerned about harm avoidance, i.e. they don't want to be harmed. And you have those who don't care so much about those things, and therefore are more interested in the group structure and order and authority, obeying authority, in loyalty to their ethnic group, and in sanctity and the holiness of the group and whatever. So those people are group oriented and are prepared to make sacrifices for their group, and the other people are individualists who are not prepared to make sacrifices for their group. Although there is some reason to sustain people like that, because geniuses will tend to combine outlier high IQ with individualist values, and so you can see that there will be some need to sustain people out of the population. So normally these people manage to cooperate together under group selection, and you get this variance in the population of these traits. In the absence of these selection pressures, people would break apart. They would come apart, as you are increasingly seeing. There would be polarization, and there would be people that would create sort of ersatz separate nations, really, or highly separate groups within the culture, based around whether they were group-oriented or individual-oriented. And this is, again, what we are seeing. So even within ethnic groups, you are seeing this breakdown. Now, it could be argued, and there's been some interesting papers on this, that the Cold War helped to hold this in check. So with the Cold War, you had the very, very serious risk of, well, on the one hand, group selection was interfered with in the sense that probably there was never going to be a war. So there was a long period of no war. And in that sense, there wasn't group selection because there was an absence of war. And so there weren't groups fighting and killing each other based on whether they were more or less ethnocentric, more or less intelligent, or whatever it happens to be. And so there was a long period due to the threat of nuclear destruction in which there wasn't actually much in the way of war. So group selection didn't happen much. And so therefore, in that sense, selection pressures on top of everything else that was happening were weakened at the group level because of the Cold War. On the other hand, there was the risk of the Cold War. There was the risk of nuclear destruction. And this helped to hold nations and groups of nations together. So if you were in the East, there was the risk of being destroyed by the West, and therefore the Soviet Union and its client states held together, even though they were ethnically highly diverse, because of the risk of being destroyed by the West. So they had to hold together. All of these people and peoples who were very different and were different levels of positive and negative ethnocentrism, intelligence and different ethnic interests, and they all held together because of the threat from the West. Similarly, in the West, you had all this diversity. You had all of these different groups speaking different languages and with different cultures, but they held together in the face of the common enemy. And so you had NATO, and you had, of course, the rise of the European Union, and these nations holding together in the common interest in a situation of immediate peril. So although group selection wasn't happening, I mean, you weren't getting groups that were being invaded and substantially wiped out or whatever by war, you did have a strong incentive to behave in a group-selected way, at least in an internally cooperative way, because of the risk from the other side, because of the risk from Russia, from the Soviet Union. Now, with the collapse of the Soviet Union, this immediate risk has basically gone away. We don't seem to fear, there's no ideological conflict to the same extent between East and West. I mean, perhaps there's a conflict based around the fact that the East are less woke than the West or something like that. But it's not as intense. It's not the kind of conflict that's going to ultimately destroy the entire world with nuclear bombs. And so what you would expect is, for that reason, there would be less pressure to hold together. On top of everything else, there would be less pressure to hold together. And so you would start to see groups becoming less cooperative and coming apart. And that's what we are seeing. And we are seeing this with the slow breakup of the European Union, which has already been heralded by Britain leaving the European Union. And I suspect other countries will follow its path. We are already seeing this within Britain itself, with the movement towards Scottish independence. Okay, it's not real independence. They're going to be held up by the EU, but I mean, it's a play for status on the part of Wee Jimmy Cranky and her cadre. You're already seeing it in Spain with the attempts at Catalan independence and all over the place. And so what you would expect in the absence of strong group selection pressures would be the number of nations to multiply. Firstly, and that's what I think we are likely to see. There's going to be more and more and more nations or autonomous regions, and potentially more and more separatism within the United States. That's what happens under weak conditions of group selection in history. You only need to look at the situation in Africa, where there is, or historically has been, very weak levels of group selection to see what happens. You don't get the development of broad polities that are ethnically diverse, such as the English or whatever. Instead, you get lots and lots of tribes that are in conflict with each other. And that's what we would go back to in a situation of weakened group selection. We would go back to lots and lots of tribes that are in conflict with each other, or at least lots and lots of separate tribes. And that is what we are now beginning to see with Scotland, with parts of Europe, with the breakup of the European Union, and of course with the Soviet Union. You've got all of these small ethnic groups, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, whatever, that became independent. So that's the first thing. The second thing that then you would see would be a breakdown even within those tribes. So if you like, if you were to compare it to Africa, we could talk about a distinction between the tribe and the clan. Within the tribe, there's a tribe, but there's not much cooperation even within that tribe. Even within that tribe, it's broken up into separate clans, which may come together in the face of the enemy to cooperate, but broadly are fighting with each other as well. And that's what you again would see within Britain, the clan, broadly the clan of the Conservatives and the clan of the Liberals or whatever. The clan, you break down into people that are very like you, the clan of the transsexuals, the clan of the homosexuals, the clan of the nationalists, whatever. You would see this breakdown into these warring microcosms within the tribe itself. And that's what you were seeing. And in some cases, of course, what you then get is fission. You get people breaking away from that tribe and forming a new separate tribe, a new separate group. And that's what you see under conditions of intense breakdown. I mean, we can think about, like, where did the Jewish people come from? They came from a period of breakdown and chaos in which basically farming broke down and people went back to herding, and a group of Canaanites, Phoenicians, went into the mountains, were separated for a long time from other Phoenicians and came out with a separate identity, perceiving themselves as a separate tribe. Those people were probably higher in group selected traits than those whom they broke away from. And so that's the kind of thing we could potentially expect to happen as things break down more and more, is separation into separate subgroups, i.e. the breakdown, let's say, of Englishness itself, as we now have it, into separate identities, with some people perceiving themselves as the true English and some people perceiving themselves as something else or whatever. That's what happens under conditions of weakened selection. And so if we want to understand, because it leads to weakened group selection, and so if we want to understand what's happening to us, we should look to places like Somalia. And we should see how places like Somalia operate. And what you have in places like Somalia is complete diversity. There is no such thing as Somali people. There is tribes. They all speak the Somali language, but that's about all that holds them together. You then have these different tribes of people. Within these tribes of people, you have different clans. Within these clans, you have different hereditary castes. So you have a caste system. So even within the clan, which tends to be a hereditary job, the blacksmith caste or whatever, and then within this, you have further families, and they're all in situations of conflict and see themselves as different. And that is why Somalia does not hold together as a state, because there is so much diversity, there is so little group selection, and there is so much conflict. And that is what we are moving towards. And it seems to me that it is the Cold War which is central to this. The Cold War can be regarded as something which slowed down the collapse of group selection into this chaos. But the Cold War went, and with the Cold War going, there was nothing to hold these groups together anymore, and so slowly you have them falling down. And what I would predict is over the next 100 years or whatever, we're going to have a huge diversity of nations and sub-nations as everything comes apart. And what this can be explained in terms of course, is group selection. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then feel free to help to the channel by assisting it in the ways you can see below. You complained last time about the quality of the sound and lighting, so I hope this has been markedly improved. I remember I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York time, and you can send in offline super chats through Entropy if you would like to ask me questions, which I will research and answer. And I will see you soon, and goodbye.